a number of folks who are actually visiting with us today. I don't know how you kind of feel about seeing that. But today we want to think about how we welcome one another, how we welcome people to be with us and to be part of what God is doing amongst us. And these are quite kind of common feelings, I think, for a lot of folks as they come and they visit church for the first time. I don't know if you've ever been to the bookies. Some of you have been to the bookies, and some of you are quite experienced at being at the bookies. But a good number of you, I bet, haven't ever been to the bookies. Right. If you've never been to the bookies, this week, you should go and visit. And here's the reason why. You walk yourself into the bookies, and you work out what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to stand, when you're supposed to do things, how you're supposed to put a bet on, what happens after you put your bet on, and what you're supposed to do afterwards. And for many of us who are Christians, who would never have been in the bookies and would never be encouraged to be in the bookies, the experience of actually going into that alien environment, that unusual context where we do not know the language, where we do not know what the right thing to do is, where you stand, what you do, do you sit, do you stand, do you go and stand over here, do you talk to the grumpy old men with their short pencils that seem to have been there for days, you know, or whatever, do you do any of these things? Or what happens? Now, for those of you who have been in the bookies before, you understand all of that. That's not an issue. But for many of us, actually, we haven't necessarily done that. That's not part of our life. And so for us to go into that place is actually to be in exactly the position that many people are in as they come to church for the first time. Now, for those of us who have been involved in church for a long time, actually, we know roughly what's going to happen. But for many people, that's not true. If you've never been to church for the first time, actually, we don't know what to do. Don't know how to stand, don't know where to sit, all the rest of it. One of the interesting things that happened a few years ago was that there was an organization called Eden, which many of you all know through the work of Andy Hawthorne down in Manchester. And they did this amazing outreach amongst a particular kind of area. And the church that had been supporting it were a group of maybe about sort of 10 to 15 kind of mostly older folks who were part of the local community church. And they had this, they had their church building, and they did their thing, and they supported this mission. And the mission was very successful in reaching about 100 to 120 15 to 25-year-olds. So that kind of top end of the teenagers and slightly beyond. And as a result of that happening, on the Sunday after the Saturday night, the whole bunch of them turned up in church the next day. The whole lot of them. And let me tell you that there was a lot of guarding of handbags that day, and of sitting feeling intimidated and sitting thinking, what on earth is going on? Particularly, apparently, when one of the guys brought their dog with them, because, well, why wouldn't you bring your dog? Well, why? Is that not appropriate in church? Well, apparently not. Or maybe it is. The tutting went into hyperdrive at the point where someone got out the fags and lit up. But again, they kind of worked out what they were going to do with all of that. And generally, the kind of sense of, what on earth do we do with all these guys? How do they fit in? Again, I'm making a point because what we believe is going to happen this year through Food Bank, through CAP, through Alpha, through serving our community is this. We are going to see more and more people walking through those doors over the next weeks and months who have never stepped foot in a church before and who feel as alien as you would as you step into a bookies, or who just don't understand what's going on and don't understand, for example, that, you know, that everyone sits very politely like this during the time where someone at the front stands up and talks, and you don't just keep talking to your pal or checking your, you know, Facebook messages or, you know, or actually answering back, which, again, all happens in the church in Manchester. And I'm saying all of these things because, actually, for us to get ourselves into a place where we're ready, we actually need to have thought about these things. We need to have contemplated these things. And so I want to take you in particular to a story which is actually all about hospitality. And I want to show you that. I want to compare and contrast the different reactions between somebody who has been brought up in religion and someone who has discovered the love of God for themselves. So we're going to read together from Luke chapter 7, and we're going to read the story of the anointing of Jesus by Mary at the house of Simon the Pharisee. So Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50, we'll read together. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had been invited saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was a prophet, he would know who it is that's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" And Simon replied, I suppose the one that had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she was wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman has not stopped kissing my feet since I have entered this place. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So some very straightforward and simple things. I know that we're past time, so I'll just be brief. One of the things that we learn here is that actually we need to actively welcome people. And we contrast the difference between Simon, the Pharisee, the religious leader, and it was Mary. We know from other texts, Mary Magdalene, who was a woman who was known as a prostitute, who came to the house to break open the year's worth of perfumed incense and pour it out on Jesus' feet. One of the questions I was asking as I prepared today and I thought about this was, why did Simon not do it? Was it because of the fact that he thought, "I'm better than this guy"? Or was it because he felt, "Well, he just doesn't deserve my kind of hospitality"? Or is it because he just simply said, "I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered. It doesn't really matter"? Or was it because he was actually thinking, didn't even think about it? You know, he just wasn't even conscious of, you know, Jesus being welcomed into his house. And again, as we see that and we contrast that with the experience of Mary and the way that Mary dealt with Jesus, what happened was, this was a woman who was absolutely overwhelmed by the opportunity and just gave herself lavishly to welcoming Jesus into that place. It's a choice that we make. And again, you know, we've spoken before about the fact that, you know, when we welcome people into our houses, you know, I know that you'll have done that over these last couple of weeks. I know that you'll have got ready. I know that you'll have prepared food. I know that you'll have probably, if you're like our house, you'll have been told that you needed to go and tidy up your room and sort things out and hoover and all the rest of that. You prepared. And when they arrived, you were there. You were there to welcome them, and you did that. You greeted them with a kiss and so on, and whatever it was that happened. And again, as we prepare to see people walking through those doors, new folks who have never been before, it's so important for us to be ready to welcome them and to have the heart, not of the religious leader, Pharisee, but of the of the one who has encountered the living God and is forever changed because of that. And because we are changed, we're changed for their sake as well. What I wanted to say is also, you know, who is welcome here? Who is welcome here? Matthew 11, verse 19 says this. Jesus was described as a drunkard, a glutton, a friend of tax collectors and of sinners. Again and again, that's only one verse. There are about five or six that say exactly the same thing. He was accused of being amongst those of ill repute. And one of the things that we need to be ready for is this. Are we willing to be knocked out of our place of comfort and of security where actually, well, in this particular, you know, church, we don't really have our own seats as such. But, you know, that sense of actually people coming in and invading our space. Imagine folks came in with their dug and with their fags and all the rest of it and talked during the sermon. You know, imagine that was happening and how would we feel? And would we be okay with that? And the point that I'm making here is this. Then everybody is welcome. Everyone is welcome here. You know, everybody is welcome. No matter where they are in their walk with God, whether they are just at the very beginning stages and they're just here because they've been drawn for some reason, or whether they've been Christians for a long time, everyone is welcome. Do you know the equivalent for us today, and this might shock you, of the accusation of Jesus? I wonder whether or not people will ever accuse us as a church of being friends of the paedophiles, the BNP, the benefit cheats, and the bankers. Because these are the people that, within our society, are probably some of the most reviled people. Would they be welcome here? Because if the answer, or in our case, probably, you know, the Orange Lodge, whoever, the point that I'm making is very simple. That actually, you know, what the scriptures teach is this. Jesus was a friend of all those who would come, and there was no differentiation. There's nothing about, you know, fitting in and belonging here. That's not what this is supposed to be about. Welcome, and here's the most important thing. Welcome is the doorway to an encounter with Jesus. That is why we welcome people. That is why we make space for them. Because it is a doorway to an encounter with Jesus. What we are looking for is exactly what happened to Mary on that day. That by being able to enter in, being able to encounter Jesus, her life was changed forever. As a result of a broken heart, as a result of someone who was coming because she knew this was the one who would be able to give her a fresh start in life, who would give her a clean slate, who would give her the hope to move on and to leave behind the life that she had lived up to then, to give her the platform from which she could launch into the destiny that she had been called to. This is what that encounter was about. And because, you know, and that is what we are trying to do. We, as we welcome people in, not just by shaking their hands and saying good morning to them as they come through the door, but by genuinely welcoming them in, by giving them space, by allowing them to hear our testimonies, by sharing our stories with them, what we're doing is we're creating a doorway into an encounter with Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It's all about helping them to encounter Jesus. That is why we want to be a welcoming church, because we believe that as soon as folks walk through the door, as soon as they enter in, they are going to hear something which will bring life to their souls. They are going to hear something which is going to be an answer to the question that they are living with at the moment. Do you know that if you go to Abundant Life Church in Bradford, between the car park and actually getting to sit down, there will be at least five people who will have shaken your hands as you come through the doors. And they will all say something like this. It's great for you to be here today. Do you know what's going to happen? You are going to have a great time because God is going to meet you here. Each one of them, as they walk through, they hear the same thing again and again. And what does that result in? That results in people who are teed up for an encounter with Jesus. If you go to Hillsongs in London, they are quite close to kind of a number of different tube stations. And they actually have people who go to the tube stations when it's raining with umbrellas. And they kind of sort of say, can I take you, are you here to go to church? And they take them and they walk them all the way into church. And as they walk, they talk about, this is a great church. You're going to really enjoy it. It's a lovely, the worship is amazing. Wait till you hear the worship. And then the guy will preach, it'll be brilliant. It'll really speak to your life. And what does it do? It tees up an encounter with Jesus. What do we do is we welcome people. We are creating a doorway through which people can encounter Jesus. And we're building faith. We're building expectation. We're allowing them to come into this place ready to meet with the King. That's what we're trying to do. That's why we're trying to do that. Why? Because an encounter with Jesus leads to salvation and transformation. Mary, the one that was transformed, became the first witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She was turned around from the woman who came in brokenness, tears, desperation, to that day at that house, when Simon's house, and poured herself out and just, you know, by her act of contrition, wiped away her sins, by her act of devotion, showed her love for Jesus. As a result of that, her life was changed forever. Transformation comes when people encounter Jesus. And that is what we want for them too. And so as they come, as they walk through the doors, we welcome them, because the welcome is a doorway to encounter Jesus. In the encounter, they will be transformed. They will be saved and brought out of all that would hold them back and into the new life that God would want for them. So what does this mean for us? This means for us that we want to be the kind of church where people are welcome, and where we have an attitude of heart that says, you know, to everyone, you are welcome. But more than that, that we come ourselves with expectation, with faith, believing that this is a place of encounter and transformation. We know that that is true. Today we didn't have time to have testimonies, but week by week, normally we would have testimony after testimony after testimony of people's lives being changed, transformed by an encounter with Jesus. This is a place where we can encourage people that we know, our friends, our family, our colleagues, to come. And we can know that as they come, they will meet with God. They will encounter Jesus in the midst, and their life will be changed forever as a result of it. I want to encourage you, therefore, you know, as we step into this new year, as we step into these new things that are going to happen, I really want to encourage you to have that attitude of heart that says, you know, I'm going to give myself lavishly to whoever comes. Indeed, I'm going to bring people because I'm expectant that God is going to do things. So let's pray that that's exactly what God does for us and through us today. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for encounters with Jesus. We want to thank you that we are able to be here because we have encountered Jesus. And we think of the moments where that happened. We think of times where you broke in and we knew that your love was for us. Your calling was to us. We heard you speak our name and call us to follow you. We know that that is what you want to do for those that have not yet come to know you. We know that that is what you long to do for those who are our friends and family, our colleagues, our neighbors. We want to pray, Lord God, that this year would be a year where here, as we gather, encounters with Jesus happen, which bring salvation and transformation. And Lord, we ask that you lift our hearts, lift our faith, lift us up, Lord God, that we would see you as you are, glorious and magnificent. And as you are, Lord God, we pray that there would be just such a sense within us of being part of something which is incredible, wonderful, and powerful. So, Lord, we pray, would you release to us that gift of hospitality? Would you release to us that grace which is that we have been forgiven much, therefore we love much? Would you release to us, we pray, everything that is required to bring this place into line with your heart and vision, that this time as we gather together would be a time where the lost and the least and the last and the lonely are able to come and to encounter Jesus, because that's what we want to. So, Lord, would you do this, we pray, for we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.